If you would open your Bible to the first book of Hebrews, or for the, to the first chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and this morning we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. So let's begin by reading those verses. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I want to look at these verses this morning. There are five things we want to look at. First of all, it says that he has spoken to us by his Son. And I want to look this morning at his Son. And then also it speaks of the brightness of his glory. And let's look at that brightness. What is this glory? And also it says that he is the express image of his person. That the Son is the express image of his person, of God the Father. And then it speaks of his power. What is his power? And then when we get down to the end, I want to go back up to verse 2. And it says that he has spoken to us in these last days. And I asked this morning, what has he spoken? And what has he said to us? Okay, if we look at verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, what that's saying is that God spoke to the father or to our fathers or the children of Israel many times and in many ways. He spoke to them, if you remember, to the fathers. He spoke to Noah by a rainbow. And he also spoke to Jacob in a dream. And then to Moses. Moses was there herding the sheep, and he looked and seen a burning bush, and Moses approached that bush, and God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. And then he spoke to the people also by the prophets. To David, he sent Nathan. And then to Moses, or to the people, he sent Moses, and Moses spoke to God for the people. And then there is Jeremiah and Isaiah, and Elijah, and Elisha, and Hosea, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and John. John was the last of the prophets. And God spoke to the people by the prophets. But it says, in these last times, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, the book of Hebrews, if there was one term that you could use to describe what is Hebrews all about, it's about better. Hebrews is about better. See, in time past, he spoke by the prophets. But in these last times, he has spoken to us by his Son. Okay, in verse 2, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto by his Son. Okay, what is a son? A son, by definition, is a descendant. Daniel is my son. Luke is Bob's son. And Gabe is Marvin's son. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just as they have descended from us, the Lord Jesus Christ has descended from God the Father. It says, when the fullness of time was come in Galatians chapter 4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and made under the law. And in Matthew chapter 3, it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, I do want to say this, that although he is the Son of God, that he is also God. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you look down at verse 14, it says, and the Word, God, and the Word, God, was made flesh. So the Son of God is also God. He is equal with the Father in every way. Now, there is a second meaning when we talk about a son. And I think, and this is what brought me to this passage, and this is why I wanted to bring a lesson here, because when we think of sons, we often think of Luke and Daniel and Gabe in that sense. But there is another sense of the word son that I want to mention this morning. And it is that of image. And is that of likeness. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God in that he descended from God, but he is also the Son of God in that he is the very image of God. And he is in the very likeness of God. It's very important to remember both of these things, that he descended from God and that he is in the image of God. Now, Daniel, my son, he does favor me. Okay? Now, I'll tell you a story that occurred at work. Here about 3 or 4 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, Daniel, we both work at Eastman, big place, 8,000-10,000 people there. We never see each other, okay? A lot of times somebody will ask you, well, you know so-and-so, they work there. There's a lot of people work there, okay? So, and we never see each other. We never cross paths there at work. Well, one day Daniel was working, and he decided that he was going to come to where I work, into my department, and look up Dad and say, hey, Dad, and see me. So supervisor said, yeah, things are running good. Go see him. Well, Daniel come into my department, and he walked in the door while I wasn't there. And somebody said, you've got to be Moody's boy. You've got to be Moody's boy. You look just like him. Okay? Now, he does. And that is, he shares my image to some degree, okay? However, there is a difference between me and Daniel. You may see the similarities in us, but you can also see the differences in us, okay? If me and Daniel were to walk through the door, you would say, there's Daniel and there's Tony. There is a difference in our image. However, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is just like his father. He is just like him. As a matter of fact, if God were to take a mirror and put it on this earth and shine his face into it, you would see Jesus Christ. That's who you would see. There is no difference. But Christ looks just like the Father. Thomas said to the Lord, Lord, show us the Father, that it suffice us. And the Lord said to him, if you've seen me, Thomas, you've seen the Father. Well, what is reflected? If our Lord Jesus Christ is an image of the Father, then what is reflected? In verse 3, let's look at it. Who being the brightness of his glory. The Lord Jesus Christ reflects the very glory of God. And what is his glory? What is the glory of God? Well, if we were to turn over to Exodus chapter 33, Moses asked God one day. He said, show me your glory. Is that not what he asked? Show me your glory. Well, what was his glory? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. God's glory is found in his sovereign grace and his sovereign mercy to ruin sinners. No matter how bad the sinner is, if God is pleased to save a sinner, that sinner will be saved. You see, this declaration of sovereign grace and sovereign mercy is good news. To a ruined, lost sinner, sovereign grace is good news. Now, the religious people hate that term, and the religious people hate a sovereign God in salvation. But for the ruined sinner who has no hope, who has looked to himself and has found nothing, when he hears that God will be merciful to whom he will be merciful, oh, that's such good news. And that is the glory of God. His glory is in his death. His glory is in his substitution. The just for the unjust. And he cannot be merciful and gracious without his death. His glory is most magnified, and his glory is most seen at the cross, where he, the just, died for the unjust. And then, let's look again at verse 3. It says, he is the express image of his person. Reading verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Remember, I give the example of a mirror, and that if the Lord was to reflect, if God Almighty was to reflect himself, that we would see Christ himself. That's what it's telling us, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the express image of God. What does express, or what does this mean, this term, express image? Well, by definition, it means the exact expression, the image of anything. The Lord Jesus Christ is an exact expression of God. It is marked likeness. It also says that it is precise, exact, reproduction in every aspect. Every aspect. Well, how is our Lord Jesus Christ an expression of God the Father? He is holy. He is just. He is love. He is long-suffering. And he's merciful. And he's gracious. Just as God the Father is, so is God the Son. We cannot know God the Father lest we know God the Son. It is by him that we know God. Religion, and I've heard it, and I'm sure you all have too on TV, and that, well, there's different ways to God, you know, different. There is not. There's only one God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no other way to God because he is God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then we want to look at his power. In verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. What is his power and his strength? Well, this word power means strength. It means ability. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins. See, the text itself tells us what his power is. It is his power to put away sin. In his life, he has the ability or the power to be our righteousness. And then in his death, he has the ability to be our substitute. That is his power. And then in his resurrection, he has the ability to be our life. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. Why? To be our mediator and to be our king. You see, all power has been given to the Son. All power. He is our Lord. He is the Lord of the living, and he is the Lord of the dead. All power has been given to the Son. How much power? How much power does God have? That's how much power has been given to him. You see, he is the Lord. He is God. And then, I said I wanted to go back and look again at the first. Then it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Okay? What has he spoken? Now, if the Lord has spoken, what has he spoken? It says that in times past, he spoke by the prophets and by different ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. I'd like to know what he has to say, wouldn't you? Well, where would you go to hear what he said? I'd want to go hear one of his sermons, wouldn't you? Matthew chapter 11, it says, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then in John chapter 6, 37, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And of him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you see the goodness of the Father and the Son? The Son has spoken. What has he spoken? He has spoken that which the Father would have him speak. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all, the whole, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is an express image of the Father. And when I hear his name, I think on God. I see God in Christ. And again, I say that when we read the scriptures, and we see this term, Son, it is descendant. It is speaking that he did indeed descend from God. But let's always remember that he is the express image of God Almighty because he is God. And I pray the Lord will bless this. And there's one other thing I had wrote down here. What did the leper say? Lord, if you will, thou can make me clean. What did he say? I will be thou clean. Come to the Son. Look to the Son. Hear the Son. He hath spoken. God has sent him to speak. Amen.